Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this morning on this beautiful day that He has blessed us with. As we begin our time of worship this morning, I do want to remind you about a few things coming up here on Sunday this afternoon here at First Baptist Elon. First off, before we do that, I do want to welcome any guests that are here with us. Welcome to First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us in worship this morning. If you are a guest with us, we do want to welcome you. And if you have an opportunity, just so we have a record of your visit with us, there are guest cards in the pew right in front of you. As a little bit later on in worship, we'll pass the offering plates around. If you just can fill that out and drop a guest card in the offering plate so we can have a record of your visit with us, we would appreciate that. As we do worship today, you will notice in your bulletin some of the list of items that are coming up this week here at First Baptist Elon. I do want to remind you, our adults, we do have our adult Bible study this afternoon at 4 o'clock upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. We are continuing our Bible study, Notorious. That'll be at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Our children and our youth activities will be at 5 o'clock. Our children's movie night is at 5. Our youth movie night is at 5 o'clock. So parents and youth and children, a reminder about that. That's at 5 o'clock this evening. A message from Janice, our secretary, our team ministries. Just a reminder, if you have items to place in the newsletter for our March newsletter, please get those to Janice today. She realized that she intended for the deadline to be last Sunday. She realized that about the middle of the week this week. So if she would greatly appreciate you get those articles into her today, not Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, because she is a little stressed about that. So please get those articles to her today so she can get finalized, hopefully, the newsletter tomorrow, so she can get those out, emailed out, and so they will be ready for you next Sunday. So please get those newsletter articles to her as soon as possible. Preferably today. If you could email those to her, she would greatly appreciate that. Also want to remind you, many of you have been hearing this announcement for the last couple months, and we are looking forward to getting those engraved stones for our courtyard. Rob has got his car loaded up with those engraved stones, and he is taking those to the engraver tomorrow. And so it is not too late if you want to get an engraved stone sent to the engraver, but you need to see him today. Today is the deadline to get that engraved stone. This is the first order, but it may be an extended period of time if you want to get an engraved stone after this first order. So if you are still interested in getting that stone sent off with this order, you need to see Rob today. He still has the order forms. Rob's back here. Rob, wave your hand. If nobody knows who Rob is, this is Rob, and he's got the form. So see him after worship today if you are still interested in getting it. He has got, I think he and John Hines, right? He and John loaded them up yesterday. And as you know, those stones are heavy. He does not want to keep them in his car very long, so he is taking the order tomorrow. So please, if you are still interested in getting a gravestone, make sure you see him today right after worship so he can get those orders in tomorrow. And we look forward to how that is going to look right outside our courtyard, and this will be a special part here at First Baptist Church of Elon. So we look forward to that ministry, and so please see Rob today if you have not already done so. I also want to give a shout out and thank you for all those that came out yesterday to do some work here at the church. It has been a long going task to get some of the work done here at the church, and you saw probably the little orange cones downstairs. And so if you were able to come yesterday to help get the concrete poured, to fill out some of the old air conditioning and duct work that needed to get done so we can get the carpet placed. If you were able to come yesterday and help out, I wanted to ask if you were here yesterday, please stand up and so we can give you a round of applause for the work you were able to do. Please stand if you were able to come and help out. I know Jerry kind of led this project. Thank you for all your hard work that you did. Hopefully, I think Tuesday is the day, right, Jerry? Tuesday is, is when the carpenters are coming to lay down the carpet, and that will be hopefully done this week. So next Sunday when you come, you'll have all the carpet done downstairs. I know our EPSI Summers, our Celestial class are looking forward to returning to their classroom. Right, ladies? They're nodding their heads. They're looking forward to returning to their classrooms. Hopefully next Sunday you'll be back in your Sunday school class, and the interior stairwell will be returned to its normal order. We look forward to that. But thank you for all the hard work that has gone into returning the downstairs back to its normal space, and we look forward to that. And thank you for all your hard work. And Jerry, thank you for all your hard work. And the step treads will be done later, but we look forward to just getting some of this back to the normal time. So thank you for all your hard work on that. As we transition now back to time of worship, we turn to our opening scripture passage, which comes from the prophet Jeremiah, reading from chapter 31, verses 3 through 4. The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. I will build you up again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. Again, you will take up your tambourines and go out to dance with the joyful. As we reflect on these words of worship, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, as we gather here this day, we reflect on the past and how many times we have gathered for worship, but also we are reminded of the new opportunity that this worship service brings. As we listen to the words that will be brought in Scripture, as we reflect on the sermon that is about to be brought, as we listen to the notes of music and we look forward to the time of singing and playing with instruments, Father, we look forward to the time of worship hour that this time brings. We anticipate how you are going to move in this place today. Father, that's why we've gathered here. That's why we have gathered in this place together, to celebrate, to worship, to be in your presence this day. Father, we don't know what this hour is going to bring, but what we do know is that you are here and you are going to move. And that's why we are here. Father, we can't wait. Father, move us this day. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone.
Cornerstone. be seated. Good morning, everyone. Today I'm here to tell you about our first Sunday in gathering. We skipped a month, I think, because we were doing other things, but we're going to try and get back on track next Sunday, since that's the first. We are gathering for the Salvation Army this time again, which the needs there are just mostly food. They need canned goods, boxed goods, not necessarily perishable items, although they do take a little of those, but mainly just things that families can come in, pick up, take home, and feed their family. They start lining up out there at 8 o'clock in the morning for a distribution that begins at 12. So that kind of tells you the needs. The people are there, they're in line, and anything that we can take over is greatly appreciated. So if you'd bring next Sunday, whatever you've got in a little bag, leave it out in the foyer. We'll take it to the Salvation Army this time. So thank you.
Our offertory hymn this morning is Great is Thy Faithfulness, hymn number 54. Let's stand and let's worship together.
Of turning with Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, and thank you for your many, many blessings. Please bless this offering that is being taken today. Use it to the glorification of your world and your community. Please be with us as we go about our activities this week, and let us all continue to be a witness for you in all that we say and do. Amen.
Be seated. Well, it's my honor and my pleasure to introduce these two young ladies to y'all. And this is Aline Wong. I don't know how to pronounce her last name. I'm sorry. And so that's the best I can do. And this is Nimue Williamson. And they're both are students of Catherine Weber, which has been here before to play for us. And they've been taken for her from Catherine for several years. I'm not sure exactly how many years. Catherine, for 3 years, both of them. And they go to Blessed Sacrament School, and they also go to Blessed Sacrament Church. And their write-up is in the bulletin here, and I'm not going to sit here and read all of it to you because I hardly have any voice left. And But I'll let you read what it says about them. But we're so thankful that they're here to play for us today. And I think they're doing two songs. Right, Catherine? Okay, so thank y'all for allowing them to come.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Remember the first time I did a musical solo, almost passed out afterwards, and I was 17. Y'all did great. Thanks for great is thy faithfulness. Every time I hear that beautiful piece of music, I think of a gentleman sitting back there named Garland Tickle. If you were around a long time ago when the choir did a 50th anniversary tape, Garland sang the lead on that song, and that melodious high tenor he has just still gives me cold chills when I play the tape. Thank you, Garland. Let's pray. Almighty and merciful God, we confess that we have often rejected your revealed word to us when it did not suit our own agendas. We have settled for fitting you into our lives rather than conforming our lives to you. In our pride, we have failed to repent of our sins or even acknowledge their existence. And so, O God, forgive us, we pray. Help those who are hurting in our world this day. We see destruction and devastation, and we wonder where you are. And so, O God, remind us that you are not in the storm, but in the comforting whisper after the storm. Bring comfort and peace and hope to those in despair. Lord Jesus, we come to church because you've called us together. You have spoken. You have called us by name. You have summoned us forth to be your disciples. And so, Lord, reveal yourself to us. Show us your glory. Speak to us this hour in such a way that we will know that the one who meets us on Sundays in worship is the same one who calls us to witness, to serve, to suffer, and to risk discipleship Monday through Saturday in the world. Reveal yourself to us, our Lord Jesus, our friend, and our Redeemer. Amen. From James this morning, chapter 5. Nope, I take that back. It's chapter 4. Still can't get used to these things. Fear not, I ordered new glasses. They'll be here in 10 days. Verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there carrying on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we'll live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. The word of God for the people of God. to tell you that our world teeters on the brink of war. Terrorism is a global threat. Government budgets are awash in red ink. Underemployment plagues too many Americans. The Middle East remains volatile. North Korea, Iran, Russia, China threaten. The coronavirus scares us half to death. We live in uncertain days. Add your own uncertainties that will never make the news. Cancer and pain, heart, stroke, disability, marriage, divorce, bills, children, parents, housing, lawsuits, school, neighbors, jobs. Life is full of uncertainties. The uncertainty of life was more easily seen in earlier generations throughout history, but it's still easily seen in much of the rest of the world. When I was in Ukraine, the first day we got there, I was informed by the family in the little apartment we were living in. I was informed that they cut the power off every night, and so they filled a bucket with water and kept it in the bathroom, and so you had to pour the bucket of water in the toilet to flush it. One night, they had two kids in the family. One was a teenager, and luckily she spoke English. She was a good translator. But her little brother got sick, and he was having severe pains and stomach pains. There was no 911 to call. You had to get to the hospital on your own. His parents had to take sheets, blankets, and a pillow because the hospital did not provide it for anyone. They had no MRI, no CT scan, no way to determine the problem. Fortunately, it turned out to be nothing. Most people in history have lived every day of their lives with the possibility of war, with assault, fire, earthquake, starvation, getting eaten by an animal, or a whole long list of problems and ever-present dangers. And so you add to those risks the fear of evil spirits and the constant need to placate thousands of gods who are capricious and often angry. Most people live their lives under threat, fear, and constant worry. When Christians bring the gospel to those people, the first question they ask is not about the inerrancy of Scripture, the style of worship, or what denomination you belong to. The first question is whether the Christian God that we call Jesus is stronger than the evil spirits who make their life so frightening and uncertain and miserable. That's what they want to know. In much of Haiti, people still practice voodoo. The witch doctor comes and parades down the street trying to drum up business. When I was there, such a parade occurred one day, and of course, the pastor of the church where we were staying said, "Do not go out in the street to watch. It's a bad witness." But being the curious types that we were, we didn't go out, but we peeked through the door to watch what was going on. I mean, how many times are you going to get to see a real witch doctor? We noticed that as the parade was coming down the street, when it got to the edge of the church, he turned and went the other way. And so we asked the pastor of the church there why he did this. And he said it was because the witch doctor knew that Jesus was more powerful than he was, and he didn't want his followers to know. In America, we have done everything possible to limit or do away with uncertainty. We know what to do in case of an emergency, don't we? Where I live, you push a button. Others of you have to call 911. We expect somebody to be there within minutes. Firefighters, EMT, police. We have insurance to pay for our medical care, to fix that car in case we're in an accident, to replace our home in case there is a fire. We have insurance to pay our salaries if we are disabled and to provide for our survivors when we die. We have Social Security. We have other pension programs to reduce the uncertainty of retirement. We have counselors. We have lawyers. We have supermarkets. We have online shopping. We have thousands of other resources to make our lives comfortable, safe, and predictable. And so what do? We pray less, and we think we need God less. Who needs God when you're in control of your life? But there is no such thing as a life without uncertainties. No matter how hard we try, no matter how much money we might have, we cannot control all the risks in life. James says, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this city or that city and we'll stay a year and we'll carry on business and we'll make a lot of money. He said, why, you don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life anyway? You're just a mist that appears for a little while and it vanishes. None of us knows what will happen tomorrow. In fact, none of us knows what will happen when we walk outside that door headed home. All of our lives are fragile and vulnerable. And we deceive ourselves into thinking that we have everything under control. In modern America, we have bought into a myth that life is supposed to be certain and predictable. But recent events have rattled our souls. We see the effects of global warming with massive fires, melting glaciers. We have mass killings in our schools and in our cities. We have devastating opioid addiction nationwide. We have other serious threats like that coronavirus that nobody knows anything about. And when we see these things, we become frightened. And our fears show up in our work, in our homes, in the way we drive our cars, the way we treat other people, even in the life of the church. And so we work to get control of anything we can because we feel too much of life has gotten uncontrollable. A healthy attitude toward uncertainty realizes that uncertainty has always been and will always be part of life. Blessed are those who accept the inevitability of uncertainty, and troubled are those who insist on getting everything under their control. There is good news, though. The good news is that God offers us certainty in uncertain times. Listen to some of the certainties of God, the certainty of his love. As Jeremiah said, I have loved you with an everlasting love, says the Lord. There is the certainty of the forgiveness of our sins. 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Then there is the certainty of eternal life. 1 John 5:13 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. There is the certainty to answered prayer. 1 John 5 again says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. There is the certainty of God's constant care. The psalmist said, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. The list could go on and on and on. There are many absolute certainties that God offers to those who are Christians. But he does not offer all the certainties that you and I might want. He does not tell us what tomorrow will bring, but he does tell us that he will be there with us. He does not promise that life will be easy, but he does promise that he will give us the grace to deal with whatever our future holds. He does not assure us that we will get what we want, but that he will love us and be there with us even if we get what we do not want. God offers great certainties, the greatest certainties, and he leaves the lesser uncertainties so that we will continue to trust in him. Now, you and I might not think that war and jobs and health are lesser issues, but they really are in the larger scale of eternity and what is really, really important in our lives. You know, we seldom have all of the information and time we need to make important decisions. Decisions like choosing a new pastor. We often must make decisions with significant uncertainty, and that leaves a lot of room for trust. We make the best decision we can with the data and time that we have, and we leave the rest up to God. Amen? Amen. Wake up. This leads us to the healthiest attitude about uncertainty, and that is trusting God for tomorrow. Look back to James chapter 4. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we go to this city or that city, spend a year, and make a lot of money. Why, you don't even know what happened tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then disappears. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. And here's how that works. I have uncertainty about something that is really important to me. I believe that God wants the best in my life. I pray and I ask him for his wisdom and direction in this problem. I tell God what I would like to happen. I plan for tomorrow. However, there's always a however. I totally trust God for the outcome, even if it is different from what I want. Do you hear that? In other words, I have uncertainty about circumstances, but I have certainty about God. I have uncertainty about what goes on in the world, but I have certainty about God. You remember these three young guys called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were Jews in 6th century BC Babylon. You remember the story how they were ordered to bow down and worship a golden idol honoring the emperor Nebuchadnezzar. That thing was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. I don't feel so big. The punishment for not worshiping the idol was death by incineration in a blazing furnace. But they refused to worship the idol. Daniel 3 says, furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold that I have set up? And now when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods and we will not worship the image of gold that you have set up. These three young men got it right. Faced with the uncertainty of life and death, they were clear on what they wanted. They wanted God to save them from a horrible death by fire. They were absolutely convinced that God could save them, but they trusted God to do what was right and announced that they would do what was right regardless of the outcome. So let's put our name on their list. When we are uncertain about war or money or family, or relationships, or job, or health, or everything else, let us seek first God's wisdom. Tell God what we want. Believe that God can do anything, but trust God for what will happen, whether it's what we want or not. This is a healthy attitude toward uncertainty. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did what was right, even if it meant death. In their case, God miraculously saved them and fireproofed them in that furnace. God saved their lives, but the outcome was not their choice, it was his. We trust, God decides. We trust, and God decides. And we do what is right no matter the outcome. Jesus' brother, James, said that we should not assume things about tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this and do that. As it is, you boast and brag, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. We tend to worry about what is uncertain. Everything is certain with God because he knows our future. He knows it before it ever happens. God has promised to take care of us. He wants us, he expects us to trust him to do what is right in the midst of all the uncertainty in which we live. Now, I know there are several variables that you and I cannot control. Instead of focusing our lives and our energy on all the worries of uncertainties, God wants us to focus on doing what is right no matter what. And so, what does a healthy attitude toward uncertainty look like? A healthy Christian attitude sees life as full of uncertainties, that God offers us the greatest and most important certainties we need, that we can trust God for tomorrow, and we should be determined to do what is right regardless of what happens. In our day, uncertainty is the new normal. And you know what? That's good news. And why is that good news? It's good news because it helps us to see that life is not under our control. It gives us a wonderful opportunity to truly trust God, who is in control. Philippians 4 says, "Do not be anxious about anything." Hard to do, isn't it? Hard to do. "But in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all of our poor understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. God loves you. You can be certain of that. For he gave his one and only Son on a cross that you might believe in him, have your sins forgiven, and receive the gift of eternal life. You can't measure God's love, but you can experience it in its fullness through Christ Jesus, who is Lord. Confess your faith in him today. Come today and cast all of your fears and your anxieties and your uncertainties at the feet of Christ, and he will be with you always, even to the end of the age. Come today and join us by letter, statement of faith, as the Spirit speaks to you. Let's sing together.
Heart is kind and no measure.